Matthew chapter 8. The title of my message this morning is A Single Touch. We're going to be looking at the first four verses of Matthew chapter 8. In way of introduction, I want us to focus on two verses. The first one's in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 4. The Bible says this. Isaiah is saying this to a sinful nation. They're backslidden. They're not following God. But Isaiah cries out and he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Why did you come here this morning? I hope it's to seek God. And then it says, call ye upon him while he's here. Why are you here today? I hope it's a call on God. Have him fix you. Have us go out of here changed, not the same way we came in. See, God wants to fix us. God wants to help us. But you got to look for him. You got to listen to him. In Psalm chapter 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." We need to thank God for all the things that is, because he is good. He says, "Are a God full of compassion." What? He means he knows what we're going through and he wants to help. "And gracious." Basically, he's got all the grace that we need. His grace is what? Sufficient for us. Long suffering and plenteous and mercy and truth. Christ has just finished the Sermon on the Mount. He's coming down off of a mountaintop experience. And he's going to meet somebody here that needs God's help. This man was an outcast. This man was shunned by society. This man had a problem he could not fix. But Christ fixed him. So in our text this morning, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it says, "And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." I want you to see how fast God acts. How fast the result happens. What does it say? And what? Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. "And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the reading of your word. Father, I just ask that the truth of it, Lord, would come out today. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will have full reign here today. Bind Satan on our behalf, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be changed. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Help us, Lord, to see you and to call on you. Lord, we thank you. We love you because you and you alone are worthy of glory. We thank you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Christ has taught the Sermon on the Mount. We've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. If you went and you just read Matthews 5, 6, and 7, it will only take about 20 minutes to read it out loud if you were a reasonable reader. So Christ has preached his first sermon, and now it's time to move on. See, when God speaks, after he's done, it's time to what? Move on. It's time to use what we've heard. And so he comes down out of this mountain. And this morning I want to show us four things that happen here in these four verses. 1 point for each of the verses. First of all, there was the curious crowd. There were people there in this crowd. It says great multitudes followed him. But you know, there's a bandwagon effect. When something new comes on, people start following it because they've heard something new. They've seen something different. And that kind of attracts people. But we can see and hear that it's not the crowd getting fixed. It's an individual. And he's not even part of the crowd. Later on, if you read Matthew 8, after this event, a centurion comes. He's not part of the crowd. Folks, the crowds are out there. They're curious, but they don't have the power of God. They don't follow Him. Why does it have all these crowds? Well, we can look at their origin. If you go in Matthew chapter 4, before the Sermon on the Mount, Christ gets baptized. He goes out in the wilderness and He's tempted. And He overcomes Satan with the Word of God. And the power of God, and angels come and minister to Him. Then He goes and He starts doing these things. And in Matthew 4, verses 23 through 25, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria." It goes beyond what we could possibly imagine. But people won't learn, people won't hear if no one says anything. How can they hear without a what? Preacher. "And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them." What about the rest? What about them? What change was God making in their life? They were just seeing the curiosity of Christ doing these things that they've never seen before. "And there followed Him" what? "Great multitudes of people from everywhere, from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." God came down for the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. So we have these great multitudes following Christ, but they're curious. They just want to see what will happen, not what God can do for them. So Christ now, He sees these multitudes, and finally He says, "Okay, it's time to talk to y'all. You've seen this stuff, maybe you'll listen to Me." So verse 1 of chapter 5 says, "And seeing the multitudes, He got up into a mountain, and when He was sat, He taught them, saying," He taught His disciples, and then He started talking about the Beatitudes. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. This is what prayer looks like. This is what giving looks like. This is what love looks like. This is what faithfulness looks like. 20 minutes. And all the wisdom of God's out there. And they have an observation. This great multitude that's been fighting. They've seen all these magical works and now, or these wonderful works, and they see and hear in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings," the Sermon on the Mount, "the people were" what? "Astonished at His doctrine." God wants you to be amazed at Him, but He wants an amazement to do something to change you. At his doctrine, "for He taught them as one having authority." Like He knew what He was talking about. You know, there's a lot of people today in today's world that says that they know something and they're just talking off the top of their head. They had Jesus, the Word of God, in the flesh right there, telling this Word of God right there. Of course it's going to be different. Because He's not man, He's God. Amen. He said, "And He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Hadn't heard this before. Hadn't seen this before. Folks, when you come to church, we ought to see things that we've never seen before. Right. It's God's Word that changes us. And so we see their origin. We see their observation, but they're still curious. Where's the massive revival? Where's the big altar call? Where's all these people? They have an opportunity. They should have seen from what they saw and what they heard, that should have told them enough that He was the Messiah. But they don't do anything about it. They just keep on following Christ. And later on in the book of Matthew, later on in Christ's ministry, Matthew chapter 15, verse 10, He says, "And He called the multitudes and said to them, hear and what? Understand." Just don't look at the outside. Look on the inside. Let it get inside of you. So we see the curious crowd, but all they're doing is they're just following Christ. You know, there's a lot of people following Jesus, and they don't know him. They don't know what he can do. They don't see his power. They're just curious about what he can do. That's not a relationship. You need to get to Christ. So that's verse 1. He comes down a mountain, great multitudes follow him. Now, separate from the crowd, because he couldn't be part of the crowd, we see a corrupted man. We see in a corrupted man, he has an incurable disease, and that disease is what? Leprosy. There was no known cure. The only solution was to quarantine them. The way they got fed is people brought food and they put it here and then they backed off and then they came get the... Sound familiar? Folks, we're still in an incurable problem today. It's called sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. See, we have this incurable disease. In the Bible, leprosy and leaven are pictures of sin. Leprosy is one in which there was no known cure. If someone got cured of leprosy, it was because of God. Naaman the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5. He's a Syrian. He hears that there's a prophet in Israel, Elisha. He comes down and says, I want to get cleansed. Elisha's going, whoa! What happens if we don't get cleansed? We're all going to die. And Elisha goes and says, you go to Jordan, dip yourself 7 times, you'll be cleansed. And Naaman says, oh, no problem, I'll go do that. He says, nope, I ain't going to do that. What? In that muddy water? You got to be kidding me. And he goes back, and then his entourage said unto him, you know, dude, what would happen if, what are you expecting to say? You want to slap him over the head and say, ah, do this. Just go do it. And so what does happen? Naaman does it God's way, and God heals him. See, leprosy was something that only God could heal. Can you imagine this man? He's out working in the field, and all of a sudden one day he looks and he sees a spot. It's not going away. He takes it to his wife and says, hey, there's a problem here. There's a problem here. Now, the law of leprosy was this. Leviticus chapter 13 says, if you thought you had leprosy, what you need to do is you need to wait 7 days to go to the priest. He was going to look at you. Because this is a spiritual issue, because it's representing sin. So the priest said, okay, he sees it, come back 7 days. Okay, it's getting bigger. Come back another 7 days. Now it's all up his arm. It's got the lesions and everything else. Said, you are now a leper. And what did you have to do? You had to put a mask over your face, over your mouth. You had to go out and say, unclean, unclean. You couldn't go home to your family. You had to be apart. You couldn't be part of the crowd. So we don't understand how this happened. But here's this leper coming to Jesus. Great multitudes are following him. I bet you as soon as they appear and he says, unclean, unclean, everybody's just scattered. Everybody's just scattered. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, to kind of summarize what I said. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering again on his upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean. So here comes this guy. People are just following Christ, the curious crowd. They're following Christ. And here comes this leper. And they all scatter. I don't want to be contaminated. Well, they had it too. They had the sin problem too. They just didn't know it. What will it take for God to make you aware of your sin problem? What will it take for God to make you aware of the incurable disease that you have inside your life? So he has this incurable disease. Secondly, he has an insightful determination. Now, he might not have been in the crowd, He might have been on the outside of the crowd listening to the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know. Bible doesn't say anything. But he says this. He says, there's nothing in the Old Testament gives me a remedy. There's nothing that mankind can give me a remedy. The only answer I got is God's got to do this. Here's this man of God called Jesus. He's doing all these great things. Maybe he can help me out too. So he makes a decision to come to Jesus. Verse 2 it says, and behold, there came a leper. So whose action it is? Christ didn't go to him. He came to Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto me. Christ is saying this today. And he's saying this to you right now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. I'll fix your problem. When he gets to Jesus, he respected Jesus because he worshiped him. Basically, the word for worship here is be translated to show reverence. And he says, came to him and worshiped him. See, he realized Jesus for who he was. The rest of the crowd said, I don't know, that's kind of curious. Because if you go on and you read the rest of the Gospels, it says, is this the Christ? Is this someone? Is this that prophet? Is it? They constantly question what they. It's time to stop questioning who Jesus is and believing for who he is.
Amen.
And to come to him and worship him.
Amen.
So he respected Jesus because here's the thing. Not everybody in the crowd is going to heaven. Right. Not everybody that says that they're following God is going there.
Right.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Here's God's will for your life. Get saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's the second part. After you get saved, look like him.
Amen.
For the will of God is to be conformed to his image. And we're changing the same image from glory to glory. Doesn't take any great theologian to do it. Just do what God's Bible says.
Right.
So he had an incurable disease that only God could fix. He had an insightful determination that he had to go to God. And then he makes an incredible declaration. There's a lot of people who say they're Christians. They don't even know this. When he falls down, he worships him. He says, Lord. He understood who Christ was. He was master. He was someone different. The crowd, after the Sermon on the Mount, says, wow, that was a great sermon. That was a great sermon. And they just keep on following. They don't change their lives. They're just astonished because he taught with what? One with authority, but they didn't respect the authority. They should have all been falling down. They should have all been praising God. They should have all been worshiping God, but they weren't. Just one guy. One guy. He makes an incredible declaration. In 1 John, he says, Lord, if thou will, thou can make it clean. He says, you know, today we pray prayers. Give me, give me, give me. I want this, I want this, I want this. James says this, you ask and you have not because you ask amiss and you can consume it on your own lust. See, you want something happening in your life, then you get your will in accordance with God's will.
Right.
He comes up to Jesus and he says this. He says, Jesus, I know that if you want to, you can do this. That if you want to, I really want it. But if you want to, you can do it. Paul wanted to get rid of his eye problem. He goes to Christ, he says, I want to get rid of it. And what does it? It got everything was fine, right? Gave him perfect eyesight, 20/20, and everything was fine. No, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul says, you know something? I'd rather glory in my infirmities than be out of the power of God. So he makes this incredible thing. He says, if you want to, God, you can do this. God wants you to do that. He wants to work in your life today. The issue is, will you let him? You got to come to him. Got to understand who he is. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if He ask anything according to His what? Will, He heareth us." My question this morning is this: what will it take to get God to work in your life? So we see the curious crowd, we see the corrupted man, and thirdly, we see the compassion of Christ in verse 3. Christ does something that's unheard of. He reaches out and touches him. You know what Christ's reach is? You can't go anywhere He's not there today. David says, "I go in the depths of the sea, You're there." He says, "I go to the highest hill, You're there. If I go to heaven, You're there. You go everywhere." See, Christ puts forth His hand. He reaches out. When Peter took his eyes off God and he starts sinking in the water, he uses the exact same word for reach. He puts forth this thing for reach. And God reaches down and picks him up. He does the same thing with the leper. He reaches down and He reaches out to him. Because the leper is humbled in front of Him. Christ's reach. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1. This is something we need to take to the bank. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." God wants you to look like Him. God wants you to be saved. He's going to do everything necessary. He's done everything necessary for you to be there. You just have to believe it. "Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." The second thing is Christ's remedy. He does the opposite one man does. Everybody in the crowd, "Unclean, unclean, I'm out of here. Don't bother me with this stuff." Christ puts forth His hand and what? Touches him. "You get leprosy! I can't get in Your presence. I'll get this. What are You doing, God?" His ways are so much higher than our ways, we can't figure it out. He does opposite what man would do. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord, put confidence in man." Amen. And science and all this other stuff. Amen. We need wisdom, folks. Don't just blindly follow what people say. Trust, check it out against God's Word. Amen. That's where the truth is. If it's not in accordance with truth, I would suggest don't do it. Or you'll learn the hard way. So we see the compassion of Christ. He reaches out. His remedy is to touch him. Remember the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years? She said what? "If I could just touch His garment, I'll be made what? Whole." Christ's result. What great news. Jesus put out forth His hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." Oh, what marvelous words. God says, "I'm going to fix your problem." You know something? He's going to fix our problem today. If you don't know Him as Savior, He's fixed His problem on the cross. If you've got a problem with sin in your life, He's fixed His problem on the cross. He says, "Just come back to Me." If you've got some care, cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Just to hear the truth of God here. So he asked it the right way. He says, "I know you can do it if you want to." And God says, "I want to fix you. I want to make you clean." He says, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It's not a growing process. It's not a 12-point process. It happens instantaneously. The moment you get saved, you get all of God that you need. You just need to use it. See, the compassion of Christ led him to the cross. Galatians 3:13 says this: "Christ hath redeemed us from the what? Curse." That man was cursed when he got leprosy. He was cursed by the priest. He was cursed by the crowd. He was cursed by everybody. He was an outcast. He had no hope without God. But Christ said, "I will, be thou clean." He says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. because he hung on the tree for us in our place. See, the compassion of Christ means he's reaching out to you right now. Just like he's reaching out his hand to Peter. He says, look at me and trust me. He says, I've got the cure. My blood's a cure. My grace is sufficient. I'll bring the right result. Because we'll glorify God together. Verse 4, we see three commands of Christ. Where's the curious crowd? Where's the crowd in this? Where's all those people that are following him? They're not there. This is just one-on-one. This is one-on-one with God. So Christ gives three commands in verse 4, and we will go quickly through this and close. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Too much today, God tells us to do something, but we take our eyes off him. We go some other way. We don't do what we're supposed to do. Maybe it doesn't make sense, but God just tells us to do this. He said, I want you to go to the temple. I want you to show the priest. I want you to go to my house and praise me. And we all just follow God every time that he tells us to do something, right? Wrong. We get distracted. You know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't listen. How many times God tells us that we need to do something, we know what to do, we get distracted and we let schedule get in the way or resources get in the way or something else get in the way, and then we don't do it. Matthew doesn't give the account, but Mark and Luke does. In Mark chapter 1, verses 44 through 45, it talks about the same account. Verse 44, it says, and he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing from those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. We don't know if he ever did this. Just like the 10 lepers. All God healed, one came back. What about the other 9? Christ asked the question. But, you know, the point is we let too many buts get in the way. You need to let your butt get out of the way and let God do it. Okay? But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter the city. You know, when we don't do things God's way, we hinder his walk. We hinder his work. We hinder everything. Why don't we just do things God's way? Why do we think so much? Stop thinking. Just do what God tells you to do. But was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Let's not get distracted. The second thing is, he says what? He says, go and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Okay? The gift that Moses commanded. We need to follow the word of God. Christ said this, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Well, that's Old Testament. I'm New Testament. I'm bought by the blood. I don't have to do that stuff anymore. The 10 commandments are still the 10 commandments. Amen. The greatest commandment is still the greatest commandment. They're still the commandments. God's word is still the truth. And we need to do it. See, the word of God said that after you were cleansed, you're supposed to go yourself and show yourself to the priest. And then stay outside for 7 days and come back to the priest. And yeah! That 14 days, come back to the priest. You're cleansed. You bring an offering to God. You had to bring a sin offering and a burnt offering. And the sin offering, after he did the sin offering, they took the blood and they put it on the tip of the right ear, on the right thumb, and the right big toe. Sound familiar? That's exactly how the priests were consecrated. See, what God wanted him to do, he said, I want you to get back into fellowship with me. I want you to be who you were created to be. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he goes out and he talks about all the things God does. It just makes the crowd more curious. Doesn't have an impact. See, we need to follow the word of God. He didn't follow that from what we can see. In Psalm 111, 10, verse, it says this, "The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. A good what? Understanding have all they that do His commandments and pray His praise endureth forever." How much understanding do you have of God today? You won't have any unless you do His Word.
Right.
You won't do His Word unless you know His Word.
Right.
You won't know His Word and do it unless you believe it. Folks, it's time to start living Bible way. Okay?
Amen.
So he says, don't get distracted, follow the word of God. And then he says, why? Why do you go and do this thing to the offering of Moses? For a testimony to who? Them. To the priest. Because the priest going, we've never seen this before. This stuff by God must be working. That might be an encouragement to them. See, why do we need to show what God does in our life? Because others need to see it. This issue about being a silent witness, I don't find that in the Bible. My Bible says we're supposed to confess Him before men. So God confesses us before His Father. Christ confesses us before His Father. We're supposed to let your light shine before men that they may see your what? Good way of life? No, your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Everything that you do in what? Word or deed? Do it heartily unto the Lord. That's what we did in the men's prayer breakfast yesterday. Others need to see it. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." First of all, for you to testify of God, He has to have done something in your life. Do you know Him as your Savior? The second thing is, you know Him as your Savior. Is He doing things in your life that you know it's God, that you other people will see? And then you need to tell other people about it. This morning, do you need Christ's touch this morning? We're not talking about a second blessing. We're talking about appropriate what Christ did on the cross for you. We're talking about let the Holy Spirit rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in your hearts. It is a heart issue. We need God to touch our hearts today. David asks, he says, "Search me and see if there be what? Any wicked way in me." Do you need the touch of God this morning? The altars will be open. We'll have a time that you can get that right with God. Do not leave here today without having a better relationship or a first-time relationship with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask, be with this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, they have doubts about where they will spend eternity. Father, help them to understand that You died on the cross for their sins. You were buried and You rose again the third day. Father, help them to say, "God, I know that I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven. I know You died on the cross. Forgive me my sins. I believe that You are the Son of God, that You rose from the dead, and that You will give me eternal life." A simple prayer like that is a prayer of salvation. Lord, I ask that You just be with those that do not know You today, that they get saved. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, just walk and to follow You. Not to get distracted, Lord, but to follow Your Word and to show others what You've done in our lives. Father, help us, Lord, in this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.